breakfast with the president, meetings with Senate leaders at the Capitol, John Roberts was introduced today to life as a Supreme Court nominee. Activist groups on the left and the right are stepping up their efforts for and against Roberts' nomination, and the Senate Judiciary Committee is digging into his work as a lawyer at the Justice Department, in private practice, and his record as a judge. NPR's Nina Totenberg reports.
While the cameras flashed grip-and-grin pictures of the nominee on Capitol Hill, on the other side of the country, the woman he is to replace, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, called Roberts a first-rate pick. But she candidly said she was disappointed that President Bush had not picked a woman. Roberts is very well qualified, she said, but she added, I am disappointed, in a sense, to see the percentage of women on our court drop by 50%. Indeed, John Roberts is, in terms of his resume, the perfect Washington establishment nominee. A Harvard-trained legal star, a former Supreme Court law clerk, a top Reagan-Bush administration lawyer, an admired Supreme Court advocate with a corporate clientele. It is a resume that hardly befits an administration that likes to publicly disdain the Washington establishment and make something of a fetish of being anti-elitist. Not always, says former Bush administration White House associate counsel Brad Berenson.
The president's authentic identification with the common man and the average citizen doesn't mean that when it comes time to pick a Supreme Court justice, he's going to look for someone common or average.
As the confirmation process began to grind into action today, the first focus was Roberts' opinions during his brief 2-year tenure on the U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia. All but two were in unanimous rulings, which is typical for newcomers on a court, and most of the decisions were uncontroversial. Of most interest to the public, probably, was an opinion he wrote upholding the handcuffing and arrest of a 12-year-old girl on the Washington subway for eating French fries. No one is very happy about the events that led to this litigation, he wrote, but the police did not violate the girl's rights. Of more significance was an opinion Roberts joined last week reinstating the system of war crimes trials for suspected terrorists at Guantanamo Bay. The ruling allows trials to go forward even though the detainee may be excluded from the proceedings and denied a lawyer. But most of the focus today, and probably for the foreseeable future, will be on Roberts' record on abortion. During the administration of George H.W. Bush, when Roberts served as the so-called political deputy in the office of the Solicitor General, he signed a brief in which he said, on behalf of the administration, quote, "We continue to believe that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided and should be overruled. The court's conclusion in Roe that there's a fundamental right to an abortion finds no support in the text, structure, or history of the Constitution." In another abortion case, Roberts successfully defended the so-called gag rule that bars doctors receiving federal funds from informing their patients about the abortion option. In a third case, he signed a friend of the court brief supporting Operation Rescue and six other individuals who routinely blocked access to clinics that provided abortion services. And Roberts' lawyer wife formerly served as the executive vice president of a pro-life organization. At Roberts' confirmation hearing for a lower court judgeship 2 years ago, though, he said he would apply Roe, that he considered it settled law. The job of a lower court judge, however, is to carry out established legal precedents and is quite different from that of a Supreme Court justice. That's why pro-choice groups say it is so important to pin Roberts down on this subject at his confirmation hearings. Nancy Northup is president of the Center for Reproductive Rights.
Now that he's up for a position on the Supreme Court, which has the opportunity to shape the contours of the constitutional law, he needs to be asked what his view is of the Roe v. Wade case, what his view is of the constitutional right to privacy, what his view is of the protection for women's health that has been recognized since the Roe decision was decided. Because now it's not about settled law, he's joining a court that shapes the law.
Republican senators have already said that Roberts, like previous nominees, should not be asked how he will rule in a particular case. But today, Judiciary Committee Chairman Arlen Specter made clear that there are other ways to frame the issue.
We'll be going into that subject in some detail again now, not as how he will rule on a specific case, but his jurisprudence, what he thinks about precedents, about stare decisis.
Stare decisis is the doctrine of following precedent, and Roe v. Wade is a big, fat precedent that now has been on the books for more than 30 years. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.